This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
Murder in the Morning from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Yes, indeed it is. And here we are today to go through, at least we're going to start going through, the dramatic reading of the John and Elena story that was written by the world-renowned author Chad Daybell. You might have heard of him before. He's a best-selling author on I Write Crazy Books for CrazyPeople.com. Number one bestseller there. We have some music ready. This is what, believe me, this is crazy. This whole thing was sent through text message. Stacy initially thought this is the book, but no, this is all through text message.
That's a lot of typing.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of typing. A lot of, and it makes you wonder, like, was it all typed? Did he do text to voice when he was doing this? Or how exactly did he get into his rhythm?
I'm guessing because there are grammatical errors in here, he did not do type to text.
Or that's
text
true.
To, yeah, voice text, because Siri knows how to do things. So this was typing.
So this is these messages indicating that the talk of reinstating the restraining order was in regards to Melanie and Brandon. That's talked about in here. Continuing to read through the messages between Chad and Lori, she asked him to clear Melanie's new house of any bad spirits. Chad stated that he was working on the house, but he was having to break down bad spirits that Brandon created. He also stated that he was able to detect these three listening devices in her new house, and he directed Lori to where they were through his prophetic abilities. But here we go. This is the beginning of the texts between Chad and Lori. Should I start?
If you'd like to, go ahead.
Okay, here we go. Let's do this. And I'm heading to bed so I can come snuggle tightly against you. I adore you. You are truly my best friend on earth and throughout eternity. See you in a minute. Butterfly, butterfly, butterfly. Kiss emoji, fire, fire, fire emoji. This was dated prior to Tammy Daybell's death, by the way. Then on the 14th, Chad says, I noticed that Chad began to write Lori, this is a context here. Chad began to write Lori a story that was sent in many text messages throughout the day. The story seemed to be a romance novel of sorts about them, and the names were changed to James, or James and Elena, not John and Elena. And this is what we're going to go through. Here we go. Friday morning, October 26th, driving south on the freeway. A voice said, you will meet an extraordinary woman today who will change your life forever. This was shocking, since such a thing seemed very unlikely at this conference. It's actually a very detailed story that began long, long ago on another world. And I'll cover that part as I go along and the characters figure things out. Keep in mind, he's texting this to Lori.
Good Lord.
As like, you're reading your text messages like, what the hell is this? But on the morning of October 26, James arrived in St. George, still a bit baffled by the message he had received. He unloaded his books and set up his table, then joined the organizers for dinner in the main room. He saw his friend MG, who had been so helpful to him when he spoke at Mesa that July. MG introduced James to her friend Elena. When their hands touched, he felt a shock pass through them and his heart started beating fast. Elena was gorgeous and vivacious, and James was a little intimidated, yet honored that she would talk to him. He was happily surprised when she mentioned a key part of his novel, The Renewed Earth. No one had ever recognized the significance of that scene before. He had heard that voice before and seen that smile before. He felt they had even talked like this before. But who could be certain? When? It was strange, but he could remember. The feelings were very strong, as if they had known each other oh so long. And I'll tap you to continue on.
Okay. I'm sorry, I'm giggling.
Ready?
they didn't get many chances to talk after that because he had to help voice a woman's blue Muppet.
See, this is where I'm wondering if it was a little text to voice going on here. Or voice to text or whatever. Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. He had to help voice a woman's blue Muppet? All right.
Okay.
But he watched her every chance he could. He had to stay at a relative's house that night, but he hardly slept. He kept envisioning himself with Elena in very wonderful situations that indicated they had been more than just friends. James was the first speaker on Saturday morning, and he knew exactly where Elena was sitting. He made sure to mention the scene from his book that they had discussed that previous evening. He was completely smitten by her, and even was nervous of what she would think of his talk as he spoke. But when he would glance at her, she was always attentive and watching him, unlike the rest of the crowd. So what? Everybody's like sitting around talking to each other.
Nobody gives
a shit.
She's
the only one staring at him.
It's like, it's very like self-deprecating.
It really is. Really need to know more about the blue Muppet, but anywho.
Yeah, I wonder if that's innuendo for something.
I know. Is that another name for the storm?
And why is it blue?
God, choke the chicken. All right. After his talk, he went to his book table. His talk had gone well, and there was a good group gathered around to buy books. His heart nearly leaped out of his chest when Elena joined him and helped sell the books. She was so beautiful that he could hardly concentrate on the customers. She straightened the books and gave the books great reviews. Although she made him laugh a lot when she kept pushing the youth and fifth volumes of his first series.
Okay.
He could only giggle when people asked if she was his wife, because yes, in fact, she was. She just didn't know it yet.
That's not creepy at all.
What? James was definitely having amorous feelings toward Elena as they sold books together. He had not felt this happy in his entire life. He was quite sure this was the woman the voice had told him about. James was ecstatic because he had already fallen deeply in love with her. Or better said, he remembered how much he already loved her. Her eyes had mesmerized him from the moment they met. But once the book sales slowed down, she stood near him behind the table. They looked deeply into each other's eyes for the first time, and he knew he was in the presence of a goddess.
Oh.
He resisted an impulse to kiss her, but his entire body was on fire. He instinctively knew she was everything he had ever dreamed of.
I'll pick up. I must clarify that James is a very difficult person to get information from. He's been blessed with great knowledge, but 99% of the people he knows do not realize that. Everybody thinks he's a dumbass, but he really thinks he's got all this great knowledge.
God.
He's very guarded, and it is a great task to gain his trust. But as Elena leaned forward, him and asked a couple of very insightful questions, his heart burst with joy. He knew she was one of the very few people on earth he could trust. James' spirit was so excited at this revelation that he shattered a thick veil that had been placed between these two souls during their mortal lives. The thick veil had been placed because of the unique, unparalleled love James and Elena had shared in previous lifetimes. That veil had prevented them from finding each other until this appointed day that would be remembered throughout the heavens as the true beginning of a spectacular mission that would save millions of souls and defeat the forces of darkness. James' physical attraction to Elena was almost overwhelming, but he was equally drawn to the spiritual energy that was radiating from her. As they talked, it was confirmed to him that they had indeed been married before and were eternal companions. He had glimpses of them walking dusty paths together, and he realized they had been married during the life of Jesus Christ, and they'd been very close to him. Somehow it's just like,
maybe he was the officiant at their wedding.
Yeah. At this time, their spirits could not be restrained any longer. and a long-awaited makeout session took place in that lobby. This was manifest in the mortal world to James and Elena through the scientific phenomenon known as loin fire. The scientific phenomenon known as loin fire. As they talked, James had a burning desire to make love to her, but he wasn't sure she felt the same way. But they could not stay away from each other. One time she was sitting in a couch near his table, and he took a seat on a chair about 5 feet from her. She began to squirm and covered her body with her hands. She asked him, "What are you doing?" He wasn't aware of what she meant. All he knew was that if Bruce Porter hadn't been giving them the evil eye, a child would have been conceived on that couch.
Oh my God.
Bruce Porter. Who the fuck is Bruce Porter?
I was hoping you'd tell me. I have no idea.
No idea. Continue
fucking
on.
Bruce.
Yeah. Fucking Bruce.
Cock blocked him.
Continue on.
The erotic tension continued throughout the afternoon. James could only think of her. His desire for her was indescribable. Thankfully, she had worn 16 layers of clothing to survive the 80-degree weather, so he was not fully aware that she truly had the body of a goddess. I don't even know what to make of that sentence. Her dimensions were exactly what he had always fantasized about, but that revelation would have to wait a month. As the night concluded, James needed to take his empty boxes to his car. With Elena's help, he had sold more books at a show than he ever had before. She helped him carry the boxes to the car, and then he could not resist the desire to hug her. He made an awkward attempt that was way too brief, because their friends were bringing more boxes. In that short embrace, though, he knew he had found the woman he had searched for his entire life. It was made crystal clear to him that they had been married before and would be again. He once again had to fight off a powerful urge to kiss her and somehow disguise his massive erection he was experiencing. Dick in a box, anyone?
It's a dick in a box.
The boxes were there.
Yeah, exactly.
They returned to the building and he helped carry tables to the second floor while she sat on the couch. They couldn't take their eyes off of each other. He was already madly in love. Her group of friends finally had... He was devastated. Unused, how he could... Well, this is his writing. Yep. Unused, how he would ever contact her again. Then her spirit took over and asked him, "Can I get your cell number in case I have some questions?" They exchanged numbers, and then they gave each other a long hug goodbye. It was the most wonderful, electric, delicious hug he had ever felt. Then he watched her walk away, knowing she was truly going to change his life forever. End of chapter one.
Audible hopes you enjoyed this book.
Oh, God.
There's
Someone
more.
Tell me about the Blue Muppet.
Blue Muppet. Got to look for the Blue Muppet.
That isn't... No, Elmo is red. Who's blue?
Cookie Monster.
Oh, ew.
Grover.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think there's a couple others. I can't think of their names, but yeah. And Chad Daybell's cock.
Yeah, apparently. And we need to figure out who Bruce Porter was, because, wow, he sure ruined the mood for them.
Damn Bruce Porter. Chapter two, we will we'll jump into that one tomorrow on the program as we continue to go through the love letters and the epic love journey of James and Elena, otherwise known as Chad and Lori Daybell. Stay close and stay sexy.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.